Yeah, really enjoy that song. Chunk of conduit's what you are. Me too. Conduit's not that exciting, Brother Keith. I know. But what's inside, it's important. Super important. And, you know, we've got those wires in there. And that's not even that big of a deal. But where that power comes from is huge, you know. You go in Anchorage and there's no steam coming out of those things, you know. Lights aren't going to be on here, you know. So power comes from God. He works through us to get things accomplished. And it's our life's choice to let Him work as He will. Ephesians chapter number 6. We'll start there, and we're going to go to Matthew 10 this morning, where we'll spend most of our time. Sure enjoyed our missionary friends that have been with us and getting to meet people. The Christian life, you meet a lot of people, go a lot of places, even not physically, but in teaching and learning, and learn about different cultures and different ways of life, how people live. And trying to understand people is just, it just never ends. How does somebody like that think? You connect with people, and very interesting. Been enjoying that. When we go back to Matthew 10 this morning, we're going to go back to the Lord teaching the disciples. Okay, and in the Sermon on the Mount, when you get in the end of chapter number 7, the Lord says, "Those that heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will liken him unto this man." And he gives the illustration of a man building his house upon a rock. And he gives the illustration about success and the illustration of the storms that are still going to come to the person that built in the right place. But that which was built remains. Super important. Super important. Get over here to Ephesians. Then we have the Apostle Paul. He's teaching us, and we're going through this chapter that's just well known for being a spiritual warfare chapter in the Word of God. But we've been stalled out here in verse number 11 for weeks now, looking at the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. Because he's always trying to go around who's teaching. He's always trying to go around the Lord's teaching. Don't worry about some man's teaching. Well, if I could just learn a little bit about... No, you need to learn what Jesus teaches. That'll consume your whole life, right? You just learn that and put that into practice. He's always trying to get around the Lord's teaching. Started in the first verse of Genesis 3. Yeah, if God said, he's always trying to go around those things. That's the way it works. That's the way it is. So you hear something contrary to the Word of God, you know exactly where it came from. That's the source. Now, it's your choice to whether you're going to buy it or not. And sadly, a lot of people buy because it's easy. It's easy to blame others when it's our fault. It's easy to put somebody else down instead of looking at our own self and saying, man, well, we could do this better. We could change this. We could make this right. It's difficult to know that God is sovereign and that He's working and He's doing something. There's no reason. There's no why. There's no nothing except God, and keep your mouth shut. That's hard to do. So why is this happening? You don't know. You have no idea. Just be quiet and take it. Just sit there and take it, right? Say, well, I don't want to take it. Yeah, I know. That's why flesh needs to die. It's hard. I'll say the wrong thing. You'll react the wrong way. And everybody's looking to see, right? And just like all the little salmon, man, they imprint. They got 2 weeks. They got 2 weeks to learn their stream. 2 weeks. That's it. Put them in the water. If it's a hatchery system, they'll put them in the water. You drive the old Glen. You go by the Clinton Tail Race, you say, that place looks like it. It runs like 2 weeks. That's it. They don't raise them there anymore. They just imprint them there. They run the water through. You got the fish in there. 2 weeks. Turn them loose. Clearwater River, everywhere. That's how it works. You got 2 weeks. Okay. Your kiddos have however long to look to you and say, well, how do we react to this? How do we do this thing? How are we supposed to do it? And they learn to avoid the wiles of the devil. Well, can't we just blame this person? Can't we just quit this? Can't we just... No. That's what the devil have you do. So this morning, last 2 weeks ago, we talked about loss of possession, loss of things. Okay? It's a trap. If we own things, and in my sense, to own it is that they own you. Okay? Not that your name's on the paper, right? Amen. It's like, my name's on the paper, right? So you sell your car and then you report to the state, I sold this to so-and-so. So if something happened and they ran it into a building or something happened, it wasn't your property, it was theirs, right? So it's like, I don't own this anymore, it's his. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about owning you. Like, it possesses you. It has you. You think about it. And we looked at Luke 12. And we got to the end of the teaching there in Luke 12. The Lord says, where your treasure is, That's where your heart is. He says, there will your heart be also. Okay? So I'll look for your heart. I'm going to look for your pile of gold first. Okay? And if it's sitting next to God, He knows where your heart's at. Okay? We talk about, you know, missions and giving and stuff. I do my giving while I'm living. I know where it's going. I know where it's going. Pastor, he'd often say, still says, when it comes to offering time, I can't take it with me, but I can send it on ahead. I can send it on ahead. Can't take it with you. I mean, you go out in that box, there's nothing going with you. Clothes on you. Okay? Well, fill it up full of my stuff. Well, yeah. And then find some pallbearers are going to carry you out with all your stuff in there, right? You know, I have the moving company, right? And move you out there. Not going in there. But I can send it on ahead. It was about loss, right? Oh, I lost this and this happened. It's God's fault and God let it happen. And we lost this and I lost my job and I lost, right? Because those things become our identity. They become our life. I mean, tell me, how many of you have never seen somebody, a license plate cover or a bumper sticker saying something other than Christ is life, right? Ball is life, fishing is life, this is life, this is, and it's just what's important to them. But it becomes their what? It becomes their identity. And that's how you know them. Okay? I mean, somebody likes to fish, man, they don't need a bumper sticker. You just go down to the fishing hole, you find them there, right? That's simple. There's people that talk about it and never do it, right? Trying to not become that person, right? Like, oh, I really like that. No, that's where you'll find them. That's their identity. I can't believe he's always. Yeah, that's what he does. That's what he does. I feel like part of my life, my office is a football field at times. I mean, if there's something out of place there, I fix it. If there's trash on the ground, I pick it up. Why? Because it's part of. I'm there. Doesn't own me though. Makes sense. How do you know? Let God grab a hold of it. Right? A birthday child in our house. A birthday child in your house. I mean, that's always a fun time. Yeah, praise the Lord. You know who likes birthdays? Grandparents. They like birthdays. Amen. Parents are just like, birthdays. Right? So my brother and I, we were born close enough together. We had double birthdays. It was March and April. And you just can't give and kiss the one. I was raised wrong. No, I was raised wrong. Mom, you did it wrong. Like, well, we got to give him one because he's going to be put out. I said, he told me to suck it up and say, deal with it, kid. That's mine. How do you know? I let God grab a hold of it. And the first words out of your mouth are, that's yours. It says where your treasure is. So you give those things to God. Having things, It's evidence of God's blessing, whether people recognize God or not. It's evidence of God's blessing. Even when it's broken, it doesn't work. It's evidence of God. It worked at one time, God. Okay. But it was made by a man, and it was going to entropy and break, right? But it's evidence of God's blessing. You give those things to Him. And it's not much different today when we go from things to people. From things to people. The Bible says in verse number 11 of Ephesians chapter number 6, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Whenever, however, I don't know when it'll be, but when we start looking at these armor pieces, okay, sometimes it's a thinking. It's a thinking. It is how you think, okay? All the things that we go through there, I don't wake up in the morning and put on any of these things, but I arm myself likewise with the same mind. Right? There's things you have to continue to think from this day to the next day. Once God's in control and God knows all things. He knows what's going to happen. He knows why it's going to happen, and it's fine for me that He knows why, and I don't have to know why. God, you don't have to tell me. If you want to, it's fine. But there's some things. I mean, Solomon, half that book of Ecclesiastes is like, yeah, I figured it out, and after I found out what it meant, it's like, I wished I'd never found out. It's not worth knowing. It's not worth knowing. The Bible talks about being simple concerning you. It's like, well, this. And it's like, you don't have to know details. I mean, I don't have to know all that stuff. It's enough to know that God knows. Handling loss, the wiles of the devil. Let's go to Matthew chapter number abilities. Okay, they're not any other abilities other than what? And there's a whole bunch of splintering that goes on in groups today because of this, just verse 1 and 2. Okay. When he had called, this is Matthew 10:1. When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits. Okay? Power against unclean spirits. They are not the power source. He is. Right? They're what we just sang, channels only. Okay? They operate in His power. Unclean spirit. Okay? Bitterness is an unclean spirit. Understand that, right? You can get somebody to see their bitterness and to give it to God. That's the power that we're talking about. Okay? That's funny. People that don't know God, they know the joke, right? You put your hand on somebody's head, healed! They know the joke, right? They get it. Why? Because it's on TV. People see it. They think that's what healing is. I'm just saying. There's a lot of doctors in this world got the power of healing. What do you mean? You put somebody under their care, they get better physically? It's pretty awesome. But if they're not spiritually healed, what kind of healing is good? You know, oh, I feel better. Yeah, but if your spirit, if you're not having been born again, what good is being healthy when you're going to die and go to hell? What good is having the best health and the best diet and the best this and the best that when you're going to die and go to hell? That's not good. You need spiritual healing. And then you need spiritual healing the rest of your life to keep you on track. God does those things. He gave the disciples power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness, all manner of disease. So many times people think, well, this is physical disease. I can handle chickenpox. I can handle COVID. I can do all this stuff, right? I can just hit. That's not what I was talking about. It's so many things more important than physical disease. And this is where we can get, go, we're going to go to the other country. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to get them water and we're going to get them this. Is it wonderful? We're going to tell them about the Lord. Well, we'll get to that eventually, okay? I'm for helping people, right? I don't want to drink out of muddy ditch either, right? Get them clean water. But give them the living water, please. Give them the living water. Does it make sense? I mean, somebody says a disease, this, a bitterness is a killer. Watch it kill people. Really? Problem is you can't sell the cure. You get it for free. Okay? I can't make money on this. I ain't gonna try to sell that. I'll go broke. I gotta have this, and I gotta have this. This isn't a Bible against medicine message. It's not that. But it is a teaching. Jesus said, if we can get you to think this way, the wiles of the devil, he's going to throw these lies in. They're going to look really good. Problem is, you're going to doubt me in the end. You're going to doubt me. You're going to doubt me. And many times he checks on the disciples and he asks, are you going to still follow me? Are you going to still follow me? I don't have time to go through all the disciples and go through all their names. The kids will sing that. It's wonderful. We were talking to men's Sunday school today. We were going to bump two of these guys out and put the lady from Tyre and Sidon that came in. Jesus called her a dog, and she stuck with them and said, yeah, but if I could just be a dog at your table, all would be well. Okay. All would be okay. Oh, you call me a dog? I'm so offended. And I'm going to take this to the women's whatever, and this is going to be, I'm going to get this man out of here, you know, whatever. Said, no, I'll just be a dog at your table, right? She understood. And then we talked about the centurion. He said, hey, you don't have to come to my house. Just say the word, right? So we want their faith in the group. So we bumped two disciples out. We had, I'm just joking, but I'm just saying. When I talk about faith, right, we're going on faith. We say, who do you want with you on your team? Give me them two. Well, they haven't been to, just give me those two. They believe. I said, that's okay. They believe. Go all the way down to, let's go down to verse number, let's go to verse 19. We'll go to verse 19. Bounce a little bit here. Down. He's teaching them. He's giving them, right? Because he tells them, look, in verse 10, look, you don't need this. You don't need this. You don't need this. You need me. You need me. And this is the job that you have to do. Verse number 19, when they deliver you up, okay? It says when. When. Okay? When it happens. Okay? You mean it's going to happen? I said when it happens. Okay? It's going to happen. Oh, I don't want it to happen. But he said, when it happens, this is what you do. This is how you go through it. When they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. Got to get ourselves a good lawyer. Nope. For it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. You speak for yourself. You got to speak in the name of the Lord. It says, when it happens. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. That's part of the problem. We do the talking. We don't listen to God and let Him speak. We have to be quiet for that to happen. Fear of loss. Let's jump down to 28 to the end. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, that's not Satan. That's talking about the Lord. Somebody that has rejected Christ, they're the head of the list, the fearful and the doubtful there in Revelation 21:8. They're the first of the list that talks about people that never put their faith and trust in Christ. They're just afraid. Bible says in 29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more valued than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. If you told people Jesus came to make peace on the earth, then you got this verse to stare at. Okay? He said, I didn't come to send peace on earth. That wasn't the goal, right? I mean, you know, the beauty pageant ladies, oh, peace on earth, you know, peace for everybody. Peace, you know. You know, I mean, if they're, you know, if they're true souls, they'd say, I want my sports team to win the World Series or the next, you know, whatever. I'd say, no, I want peace for everybody. It's, yeah, wonderful, great. Look, Jesus said, I didn't come for that. I didn't come for that. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Now, I'm really confused. He told the disciples to put up their swords. Okay? How, what in the world? What in the world? Jesus' cause and himself, his very self, causes division. He causes division. Why? Not because of him, because there's another side that is trying to get around him. It's the wiles of the devil. Trying to get you to doubt him. Trying to get you. And he's come. That's his purpose. He's come that we would believe in him. He's going to pay for our sin on the cross. He's going to do those things. He didn't come to make peace. Now, the result of trusting Christ is having peace. We understand that. We learn that. But he said, I didn't come to make all. He said, I mean, it's always some. It's a choice for people to choose Christ. It's a choice to want to, as we sang this morning, to trust and obey. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. All examples of relationships. Why? Because how many of us in our own families, we've received Christ, but our family member hasn't. And it's hard to talk about. It's difficult. And he said, I'm here. I'm here for that. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. That's hard. That is not an easy thing. Verse 37. I have to make a choice here. And this is where if we don't do this, if we don't learn this about people and our relationships with people, we'll fall trap when somebody's lost, somebody dies, somebody passes away, somebody moves, something happens to somebody, and what we had in our minds about that person, our relationship that we had, that we enjoyed with that person, that they made us happy, they made us feel good, that they did this for us in our soul or whatever, that's gone now. And now you're suffering loss on a level that you shouldn't be because of how you held this person. He that loveth father or mother, what's the next three words say? More than me. Okay? Now, you say, well, I love my mother this much, and I love the Lord this much, just a little bit more. Okay? You show me the yardstick you're using for that. You know, I mean, talk about subjectiveness, yeah, you know. Amen. That's why I struggle with referees, right? I just didn't see it that way. Yeah, I get it. I understand. Okay? Show me the yardstick. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. But if it's just a little more, then I'm still good. It doesn't exist. What are you going to do? Like, well, if I put my money in the offering for Jesus for Christmas time for his gift, that's this, but I only bought my mom one that was this much, then that proves it. Again, show us the stick. More than me. Okay? That's personal. That's right to every one of us. He that loveth father and mother more than me. What does that mean? I'd rather do what they'd have me do than do what you'd have me to do. Sometimes you get parents that they give their children to the Lord in prayer when they're born and dedicate them to us, the Lord, whatever you have, it's wonderful. And then the kids don't want anything to do with it. Or you get kids that are, Lord, whatever you want me to do, and the parents are like, you'll starve to death. Right? It's just like, you can't be over here, you can't be over here. Look at where our love needs to be. It needs to be to the Father. Not earthly Father. We need to love our people. We love it. It's not a don't love your people, right? This is a new message, okay? But again, the wiles of the devil, okay? I love my parent more than I love God. Now, I was telling the butcher yesterday, because he was from Washington. Man, so many, it was like, I told told my wife, this is a crazy day, right? It's like something unexpected, and you go on, it's like, man, you like meet those people, you feel like you've known half your life. This is crazy. And I just told him, I grew up in Eastern Washington. You have to make that clear with people when you're from Washington. You just have to make that clear. I'm from Washington. Well, first, of Washington State, okay, not Washington, D.C., which that's not good either. And I'm not from Western Washington. That's like being from Washington, D.C. No, I'm just kidding. But anyways, I'm from Eastern Washington. Where? I'm from north of Spokane. I grew up there. And I'm from Western Washington. Okay. Where? Because in our own, if you're from Washington, then, even if you're only a mile away from Seattle, that's better than being there, you know what I'm saying? And just, I'm in Kelso. Oh, you're down the river. I said, yes, I know Kelso. And started talking about that. So told my dad logged, and my dad got killed in the woods, and he said, man, I logged. He said, I used to log. I said, it's tough, So I was 17, it's tough. I love my dad. I was thinking about today. Today's your birthday. Happy birthday. Today's the day I lost my dad. It's that date. It's that date. And that's just illustrating. I don't think about it. The idea is this. If I love my dad more than I love God, do you think I'd be here? What do you do? Well, I just can't go on. I can't. He goes on and on and on and on and on. Even the Energizer made money on that, right? It's going to stop eventually, right? I'll play a commercial. You'll watch the whole time, right? Right? He doesn't ever stop. I'm not saying to love your people, but you got to love God supremely. Something happens to your people. And then it's like, what's God doing? What's God doing? God said, Abraham, why don't you leave your people? What's God doing? What's God doing? Man, big stuff planned. I'd like to use you if I could. I'd like to use you. He that loveth father or mother more than me, he says, is not worthy of me. And why would you be? So that's awful hard. Why would you be? He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. I love my kids, but I know, man, I could get the call. Hey, your child was hit by a car. Your child was this. They go with other people's kids. They're at school. They ride a school bus that I don't drive. I love their bus driver. He's a great guy. He's an older gentleman. If you're an older gentleman, you have a heart attack. I'm just saying. That's just like stuff goes. I was thinking, wow, that would be tough, right? But I don't sit at home and go, what do you do? I just pray for Mr. Rob. I said, God help Mr. Rob. I said, pray that you bless him today and bless the kids' day at school. That's all I can do. They're in your hands. They're in your hands. It's all you can do. I'm so afraid of loss. I'm afraid of loss. He doesn't lose anything. He loses nothing. You think about it. You go home this afternoon, assignment. Bring it back tonight. You get your little paper out. Make sure it's a small one, right? And just a little pencil. And you write down all the things God's ever lost. Write them down. Write them down. You bring that back. You'll be sitting there not doing a whole lot, right? He doesn't lose things. I lost my, right? And we use it, right? We say it. Sometimes we say it and we don't really mean it, right? It's like I lost my dad. My dad trusts the Lord Christ as his Savior. I never heard it out of his own lips, but I've heard it from his family members. It says, I just trust he's with the Lord. That's all I can know. That's all I know. I don't spend all the time, man, I don't know. I just don't know. Does that help me? It doesn't help me. It doesn't help me think about God in any better light. It doesn't help me want to serve God in any better light. I'll just be real. That's the best I know how. My grandpa's serving the Lord. My grandma's serving the Lord. My dad had a call to serve the Lord and said no. Ran the other way.
They talking about like Jonah running, like running back to the woods and logging and doing all. I mean, that's all I know. That's all I know. I was thinking, man, not good. It's not good, right? Seven kids, and it's like, not good. Some of that still rears its ugly head in our family. It's not good, right? Still there. It's still there. I got to love Him more than my people, right? If you love God right, your relationship will be right with your people. I promise you that, okay? That's the hardest thing, right? So you love God, and you love them, and they're ugly to you, right? And you still love them. You still love them. You don't get ugly with them. You don't get short with them. You don't get any sarcastic like me. You got to cut that stuff off, man. You got to like be somebody else, right? You don't win with this, people, all right? You win with this. I mean, you have to. And I'm talking about loving ugliness, too. Nasty stuff, right? And you just love them. You just love them. I can't believe it. No, you just love them. It's hard to do. But if you love the Lord the most, if you love the Lord the way you're supposed to, okay? Love, verse 37, he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. I love standing in the back and shaking little kids' hands. I love it. I love it. Because I don't see them as just little kids. I don't. Miss Garner put a picture of Lily on the thing, and I was like, man, I got to go back and look at the old pictures, man. Because it makes you not want to, you know, put them under a box with rocks on top. When they do something, when they're older, they're like, man, you're cute as a kid. Man. Key word, were. I mean, you were sweet as a kid. And were, okay? No, but obviously, when they're born, they're like, oh, that's going to get bigger. And it happens so fast, right? Like, I'm getting down on my hands and knees, right? Because all the little kids are all short, and they're small, and they're tiny, right? I'm like, hey, how you doing? Hey, Pastor, right? All right, great, wonderful, right? But if God tarries and I get to live, right? Right? And I want them to love God then, like they do now, and just make sure that stays the same. What's going to change for you? Not a whole lot. Just keep living Jesus and preaching the Bible. That's about it. That's about it. You keep that the same. Well, what about the world and all that? You keep this the same. This is the world, okay? This is your life. This is your world. You keep doing those things. Have a love on them, okay? Hey, look, people, I'll just tell you straight up. Some are going to go this way, and some are going to go this way. It's just going to happen. What do? You still love them. You still love them. You can only love them enough if you love Him more. Do you understand that? You'll never win them back to Christ if you're not loving Christ. Does that make sense? Oh, I just want God like a doctor, and I don't know Him, but if I take Him to Him, it's all going to be better. No, you need to know Him and love Him. They'll see that. That's what's going to help. Now, oh, you need Jesus. Said, man, I need Jesus so I can love Him how I'm supposed to. Because right now it's killing me because something in the human nature is that it's your child, so that's a part of you. So the things that they go through, you take that on yourself. You're not supposed to do that. The whoopings and the lickings that they take, you take those on yourself because you're like, oh, it's my fault because I'm their parent. I'm going to say, hey, there's a lot of the sowing and reaping and parenting, that kind of thing. But they got to make a choice. You made a choice. They have to make a choice. And sometimes I tell my kids, look, I really want you to make this choice because I didn't when I was a kid. I wish I would have. But I'm not going to play you. Okay? Drives me crazy. You want to go up and choke parents and slap them around when they're saying stupid stuff and stuff because they're trying to live through their kids. Let them play. Now, we had a coach get in trouble. And so I had to help coach. A couple weeks ago, I had to coach a team that wasn't mine. Palmer team. But it was one of the younger teams. I said, all right, raise your hand. I said, I started out because I knew most of them. I said, all right, raise your hand if you don't want to play today. This kid raised his hand. I said, all right, go over to the bench. Just stay over there, you know. And, you know, 3/4 of the way through practice, I walk over and he's still sitting there just like lost his, all his friends. I was like, you really don't want to play football? Nope. You know, like, why are you here? Like, dad made me or whatever. And I'm, you know, we hate that, right? We hate that. We understand that you should go do this, but look, there's something he likes. There's something that he enjoys doing, and hey, and if it's not your, if my kids never turn out to play sports, I only shed like a quarter of a tear, right? But watching them now, I'm thinking it's just gonna happen. They just do those things. I can't make them do those things and enjoy that. That's me, right? That's me. Hey, you let them serve God. That's them. Let them do that. Let them make that choice. Lord, I just pray. See, and this is the thing. You can't pray people into corners like that. You pray for God's will, pray for God's will, pray for God's will, pray for God, and pray for it for yourself as well. Where are you going to be here? I don't know. I don't know where I'm going to be tomorrow. I don't even know if I'll be alive tomorrow. Right? Say that in front of the high school kids. They're like, well, what's going to happen? What's going to happen here? I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know. Hope I'm here. Right? COVID, we didn't know if we were going to get to be together and have this stuff. And it just gets zanier and weirder every week. But it's kind of exciting. We really don't know. It is Christmas every week. But most of the presents are really bad. Okay? It's just like, this is lame. Get this, make this stop. Okay? I love the Lord the way I'm supposed to. I can love my people the way I'm supposed to. So when God says, it's promotion. We understand that, right? For the Christian, it's promotion. They're going in the ground. They're up there. Like, it's the best. You couldn't, and they wouldn't, and just, you're like, all right. And I'm not for, you can talk to people you don't see. I'm never going to get on people for that, because I don't know what people can see, what they can't see. I don't know any of that stuff. I don't know. But they're better off. Way better off. Okay? Get that through our minds, right? It's the flesh. The flesh is going to die, and when it happens, we fall apart. No. That's what's supposed to happen. Love them when you're supposed to. Okay? Love them how you're supposed to. Okay? Love them in order from loving God down to loving them, not the other way around. Well, I have them, so now I need to, okay. It's interesting. You watch young people, they get away from the Lord, they start having babies, and then it's like, you know what? They need to be in Sunday school. That's funny how that happens. Yeah. Okay, and you can't be the person at the door saying, yeah, I'm good. It's about time you all come around, right? It's like, no, don't do that. Say, this is wonderful. Who is this? This is so-and-so. And you're like, well, awesome. Come on in. Right? It's the relationship between God. You don't want to be the one that pushes them away from God or influences them in the wrong way. Bring them in. Bring them in. I want no part of a church that thinks they're perfect. We start doing that, out. I'm gone, because I'm no way perfect. If I list my whole week, you guys would be like, we're having a meeting on Tuesday night. My brother Garner, we'll bring his name for the church. Okay. I was like, I'm just telling you, right? There's some days that, like, I tell my wife, like, oh, my soul. Anything happens to you, I'm gone. I'm out of here, right? It's like, mercy. You want to encourage people to love God. You want to encourage them to love God. The Bible says, he that findeth his life. I'm sorry, let us go back to 38. I skipped the most important verse. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me, not worthy of me. Okay? He said, when? Pick it up. What's the cross? It's the life that Jesus has for you to live. It's the hard times. It's the good times. It's the low times. All the times that he's going to go through with you. How can you learn patience except for tribulation? Well, I'm a real patient person. Anything ever bad happen? Nope, never. Oh, that must be some real expensive patience you got there. That's awesome, right? And Brother Jonathan, you're out building stuff? I mean, I'm sure there's difference in quality materials, right? Right. We're buying from these people. They don't have good quality materials. So these people, oh, they got material. It's got a sticker on it, but hey, it's never standards. Well, this costs more. Yeah, but you get what you pay for. I was trying to explain that to this one. Well, what if you buy this and it, so-and-so bought this, but this person's $100, hers was only $5. And I said, it's going to work like it's $5 too. It's going to happen. Right? Oh, I got patience. Has it ever been tried? But I hate tribulation. Doesn't work that way. Right? You don't sign up for it and say, give me like a level 6 today, Lord. I'm feeling pretty good. No. God says, bammo, we're talking about mid-Sunday school. God doesn't give you like the preempt call like at 4:30. Something's really bad is going to happen at 6 this morning. Just want you to be ready for it. He doesn't do that. Right? 6 happens, you get a call, it's like, oh. But he says, but you're supposed to know I'm with you. You're supposed to remember that I'm all alone. No, you're not. Wake up. Get back to the fundamentals that you know. Put on the armor. Think. Lord, thank you for this day. Pretty basic. But why would you not? You wake up and you're cognizant of your life. You're like, hey, yes, I made it. I survived, right? I did. Wonderful. I'm going to use this day to serve the Lord. I'm like, Lord, whatever you want for me today. I mean, so many times people think, well, we have to pray for days, and we got to pray for years, and we got to pray. You got to get your heart right every morning, every day, every day. Pray without ceasing means you never get to the point where you would never talk to God.
Well, it's a time thing. You need to be able to talk to God. You do. Right? So those behind you can learn that they need to. Because you love them, you want to talk to them. I love Mrs. Garner, I want to talk to her. Right? When I'm mad at her, I don't want to talk to her. So I try to keep from getting mad at her. And it's usually my fault, right? Almost always my fault. I learned how to say that really good. I just got it written somewhere. I said, it's my fault again. Yeah, oh, there we go. I'll use that one. That one works every time. It was my fault again, babe. I'm sorry. I blew this. And okay, all's well. Whew. You know how hard it is to preach? I thought about you there. I said, you know how hard it is to preach? She's sitting right here. She's on the front row. I'm mad at her. I'm like, and the Bible says. You know, it's like, I got to stare at her. I got to worse off than some of y'all. It's like, I just sit next to her. Yeah, you don't have to look at her, though, right? It's like, I'm not going to look at her. It doesn't work. God's everywhere. What are you going to do? What are you going to do to get mad at God? Get it right. Talk to God. Talk to God. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Okay? What does losing mean? Okay? So the fear is loss. Okay? I'm going to lose it. Either your life, your kids, your spouse, your whoever, right? Longer you live, the more relationships you make. You know, you got people in your life that are closer to you than family even. Friends, your Christian family here at church. And you make this person out to be something other than what God would have said. Man, that's a blessing having you in my life. Wonderful. That's great. Oh, this person fulfills me and this person, whatever. That's only supposed to be in the husband-wife relationship, the completer relationship. That's it. It's one of the awesome things about marriage. I was hunting with Nolan on Saturday. I wasn't. I was with Nolan. Nolan was hunting on Saturday. And I'm just watching and observing. And we're, Brother Randy, we're out, out behind the tail race. The big pond out behind the tail race, right? This is six, seven, eight swans, right? So mom and dad and the troop, right? And it's dark, and we're rowing out to our spot and looking for our spot, and I just see the water. You just see ripples, right? You can't see. It's too dark yet. I was like, what is over there? So we either rowed into a bunch of ducks, which is wonderful. I mean, because then you got to wait, and then if they decide to stick around, all that stuff. But they weren't ducks. They were swans. I was like, cool. Swans, you have to, like, rile swans up to get them pretty. Like, you could be there, and they don't mind because they're pretty big, and they know people aren't shooting at them for the most part unless they're out in, like, western Alaska somewhere and somebody has rights, you know? So here they are, they're swimming back and forth, and they move from here, and they go down to the other end, and we're doing our thing a couple hours later, and we get ready to leave, and here they are out in the middle, and here comes this lone swan, you know, here he comes, and he just sits down in the water there, and this other swan, man, as soon as that swan hit the water, this big swan just starts flapping, and there's something, I mean, it's like aircraft carrier, just like this huge, you know, it's like, and he just comes and he just lands right where this other one's at. And they just do the thing and this other one gets up and off he goes. Because they just stick with each other for their whole lives and do their thing and raising little swans. And I would bet, I mean, I didn't look at the tag. I wasn't close enough to see if it was a boy or a girl. But I'm just assuming it was another guy. And he said, hey, get away. Get out. Get away from my family, you know, get out of here, right? It's a relationship that God has made for us. You make a relationship with somebody else outside of that, you're asking for hurt. You're asking for a loss that's not supposed to be. And it can just, who is this person to you? Oh, they're my this and my, he's supposed to be that. He's supposed to be all those things. And then gives you a spouse, it gives you marriage. I mean, then you have that picture. You have a representation picture in your physical life that people can see of the relationship you have with God. It's huge. It's big. They have the wiles of the devil. Oh, I may lose this. Give them to God. That way they're never lost. Okay? They're never lost. People come into your life, you make sure the relationship's right. Right? If self is very much alive, you're going to use people. I'm just telling you. It's going to be, what can I get? What do they do for me? You say, I'm above that. I don't want money. I don't want this. Right? Yeah, but they give you happiness, and that's what you want. And that's why you call them, and that's why you do this, and that's why you do that. That does that for you instead of, you should get it from him. And everything else is just evidence of his blessings to you, that you have friends. I started telling your kids, you say, you may not have very many friends. Okay? When you follow Christ, you're not going to have a whole, you're not going to be like,
I've got lots of friends. And that's the thing with the kids. I've got 100 friends, really. Name them. All right. Jimmy and Bill and, well, there's like 50,000 more. Yeah, there is. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And they're all worth nothing, right? They're all meatheads, right? Not your friends. Your friends are the ones that come out Saturday night and pull you off a river bar when you run your boat aground. Those are your friends. That's your friend, Brother Brent, right? That's your friend. Brother, there's lightning out here. I'm coming anyway. Okay. Love you. Thank you. Those are your friends. Not, oh, I'll be your friend. What do you got? What you got going on? Jesus is saying, look, if you love this person more than me, you love this person more, you're not worthy to love me. You're not worthy. Start with me, and then you'll love these like you're supposed to. You won't have loss. I mean, that's tough, right? I mean, I've been to two funerals where it was young people. That was before I was in ministry. It's small casket, it's small box. That's hard. That's tough. Especially if you know the family doesn't know the Lord. It's tough, right? Because they're not reaching for balm that's going to help. And they're not, and it is tough. It's very difficult, okay? When folks know the Lord, when people start throwing the word loss around, oh, he doesn't lose anybody. He knows exactly what's going on. And my hope is that, hey, I'm going to love my kids. I want them to serve God, whatever that means, whether they're a butcher like Mr. Steve yesterday. Man, cut them up to the glory of God, right? I mean, whatever it is that you do. I told my wife as I got home, I said, I bet $1,000 that guy knows the Lord. I mean, I didn't have a chance to ask him, just straight up ask him. I'm going to get to talk to him again one of these days. I'll make it a purpose to walk into his shop. I said, it was just coming out. It was just coming out. I mean, it was awesome. It was great. Relationship with the Lord. Let's stand this morning. Hymn number 293. There's a question for the title. It says, is your all on the altar? Okay. Is your all on the altar? As your best effort, like all your relationships, okay? How do I know that they have me? Again, let God touch them and see what happens. If the first words out of your heart are, that's my, then you had it, right? If they're gods and they die, right? If it's a person, okay? And your first words out of your heart should be thank you. Thank you for letting them be, thank you. You need to thank God. In everything, give thanks. This is what the Bible says. But then it comes to living, and it's like, that's pretty hard. Yeah, it is. Okay, but give it to the Lord. Is your all on the altar? Okay, this stuff goes like this. I'm telling you, one day it's better, and another day it's worse at times. You know, love grows, right? The more time you spend with people, love grows, and say, well, I was really cared for this person. That's wonderful. That's great. It's great to care for people. It's wonderful. But it can't be more than our love for the Lord. Or otherwise things get out of whack. They get out of whack. And we experience loss, and instead of you knowing Christ and being able to help bring others to Christ, you're just this, you're like forlorn. You're like a boat with no mooring, a boat with no heading, nothing. You're just out floating, drifting, no direction. You can't help anybody that way. The people that help, they all got gas in their boat. They got rope. They got stuff. They got people. Then they come and they help you get to wherever you're out there just adrift in life. Oh, but I know Christ. That's not good. Is you're on the altar 293 this morning. 293, the question.